Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope. Hope. It's one of the big three. Faith, hope, and love. It's a term that Paul used frequently in his apostles or his epistles. So what is hope? Hope from the Greek elpis is confident trust in what is not seen. It's grounded in Christ's resurrection with patient expectation and the promise of his return in glory. Yes, we hear about hope many times in many places and different settings, but generally not always with that kind of idea. One might hope for a raise, a cure for cancer or some other disease or illness, or to get a particular something for Christmas. But that is not the hope that is referred to us in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Likewise, the antithesis or the opposite is true as well. The idea of losing hope, as we use it today, as in losing hope in a doctor or in others, is not the same usage that Paul describes when he says, others who have no hope. Again, hope, as Paul uses it, places all of its trust and encouragement in Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen. We will explore this meaning further as we look at the first letter of Paul to those living in Thessalonica. Paul wrote to those, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Jesus Christ will be coming again. That is the scariest, worst possible thing for those who do not believe, for those who have no hope. Death is a close second. For them, because of their lack of faith, because they persist in their sin and do not repent, or because they refuse to hear the word and believe it, death is the living, breathing enemy. That's why many today fight so hard against death. They desire to live forever, even in such a sinful, messed up, illness-ridden, cancer-ridden, problem-ridden world as this. They desire to live forever rather than to face death. And when their families, who also do not believe, succumb to death, there is no hope. There is no hidden joy. It's all over. They are gone forever, and so they grieve. They cry, and they wail, and they give the funeral directors a hard time. Either that, or they bottle it up inside and let it eat away from them from within. They harden their hearts against whatever and ultimately whoever with a capital W, has taken their loved one away. Paul wrote to his brothers in Thessalonica about these things, knowing full well that some of them may not believe. The church is invisible. Paul cannot see into others' hearts, and neither can we. There are those who will never believe, but there will also be those who believe for a time, but then fall away. Jesus told about this in his parable about the seeds, that some who do not have roots would eventually shrivel up and die. God has also taught us through St. John that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Now, this is not to say that repentance no longer works. It is to say that there must be repentance. Peter, who denied Jesus at his trials, was brought back into the fold. Others can be as well. But sadly, some will leave and never return. These are the ones who will grieve without hope and die without hope. Again, if they do not repent and believe. Paul continues, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Paul declares, like any good pastor, thus says the Lord, when he writes that he and the other apostles have been declaring a word from the Lord. Everything he has been writing to those in Thessalonica, he has received from the Lord. Both that some would not be left until the coming of the Lord, but also that some would. Yet we can do nothing to either get or retain faith. It's all passive. It is all received. Our works can do nothing either to gain faith or to keep us in the faith. Only Jesus' work can do those things. His life, suffering, and death were in our place to pay for our sins, all of our offenses against our God and Father in heaven. His resurrection was the assurance that we will rise again too, as we are kept in the faith by the Spirit of God. Jesus has done this by becoming man. Back in Genesis, God created man in his own likeness. That man, Adam, lived in perfect relationship both with God and with his wife, whom God created. He created them on the sixth day, and they lived until they died when they partook of that forbidden fruit. So too, Jesus lived until he died on the sixth day, taking the eternal death that you and I rightly deserved upon himself. On the seventh day of creation, God rested, and so too did Jesus rest in the tomb on the seventh day. Now we celebrate the eighth day, Sunday, when our Lord was brought back from the dead, bursting from the tomb, giving us the assurance that we also will rise and be taken out of our tombs. If we are still alive when Jesus returns, we will not enter the new life alone. We will be joined by all the saints, all those who have fallen asleep in him, as we heard about last Sunday. And so we will always be with the Lord. By the faith he has given to us, Jesus' words to the Sadducees ring so true. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Whether we are alive before him here on earth, or before him in the throne room, gathered with those who have come out of the great tribulation, all are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's why the Sadducees were so sadly mistaken. They did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. That's why, as others have said, they're sad, you see. Because to God, all are alive, whether they are alive on earth or before him in the throne room in heaven. Paul concludes, therefore encourage one another with these words. A few weeks ago, we considered again how everything is under God's control. With that being the case, we have no reason to worry or to be apprehensive. Instead, we're to encourage one another with whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what could be more true or encouraging than the fact that God has our future in his loving hands? What could give us more hope? Remember, hope is that confident trust in what is not seen, grounded in Christ's resurrection with patient expectation and the promise of his return in glory. We've all received the big three, faith, hope, and love. And while love is the greatest of these, that love we have received in God sending his Son to die and live for us, we now have faith and even hope through that same death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.